Hey guys, Future Trape here. If you're wondering why Evan doesn't have any video to go along with his audio, you can blame Trey for that. Here are the text messages. There's typically going to be at least one thing wrong here at the TNT Trey and Trape show. I just wanted to get this out of the way to tell you guys what the skinny was on why Evan did not have a video to go along with the podcast. It's not because he was the ugliest member on panel. In fact, he actually carried the group in terms of looks. He's a very handsome man, but the three of us do have a really good discussion, so again, I did want to put this episode out here, but not without informing you guys the 411 on what went down. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's hop into episode number 8 of the TNT. This podcast is not one that allows racial slurs, but we are totally fine with freedom of speech and any kind of words that you want to say, as long as they're not divisive. I'm very impressed that you learned how to do that with the mic. How'd you do that?
What? Tilt it this way?
Yeah, how'd you tilt it at an angle there?
You just grab the base, shift it over. This little metal cage, like this.
Holy shit. Yeah. I'm going to keep it like that. See, these are the kind of things that Evan brings to the table that me, I just can't do. We're happy to have you, Evan. He drove all the way from Seattle, and we're also happy to have my co-host, the man by my side, who had to drive a total of 15 minutes through Lewis and Idaho traffic. Trey, how you
at
doing?
5 man? O'clock. Yeah, what's going on? Excited to have you back. I understand the last time we had you, there was a lot of technical difficulties, so we appreciate you giving us another chance at redemption.
Yeah. But most of that goes on Trebe Talks, though, I'd say. I'm glad to be here, by the way. Always a great pleasure to be in front of two Pixlies. Two Pixlies in one room.
Two Pixlies is always better than one. That's what I always say. Yeah. That's what the people are saying. You know, and don't let Trey fool you, though. He had no idea who the fuck you were. I told him this is a big week for podcasts. We got two heavy hitting guests coming on. We have a former All-American kicker who we're going to go and chop it up with. And we also have a failed journalist turned pizza driver. So we are very happy to have you on. But yeah, Trey totally forgot who you were. He said, is that the backyard wrestler or is that the one we had all the technical?
Oh, come on.
How can you forget this face? Trey also said that you resemble Johnny Manziel. What do you got to say about that?
I don't see it.
You don't see it.
I don't see the Johnny Manziel. Do I look like that much of a frat kid?
Yeah. I'd say you give off that vibe for sure.
Well, when I first walked in and I saw you kind of from like an angle, it made me seem, but now that I'm like looking you face to face, I don't really see it, but...
Okay, well, yeah, The one I always got growing up was Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle.
Holy shit.
That one stuck.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys...
You are like a stretched out Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle.
It was worse when I was a kid, too.
Was it? What other things? Was it just Dewey, or what else did you say people say you look like?
That was pretty much the only one. And it was elementary, middle school, and high school. There was always someone that pointed it out.
Well, Right. He sent me, and I'll put it in the video too, after the fact. He sent me this really foul Instagram video of this dude that had no neck, and I'm telling you, like, we'll play the video here, and I'll show you after the podcast so you get a real grasp on it.
Right.
But it fucked me up for at least 2 days. I even told Renee, I'm like, Evan sent me this and said this is a pixely neck, and it hurt my feelings a little bit. And, you know, I guess we have condensed necks, but, you know, and I want to roast Evan right now, and I had a whole bit about how he has, like, a beaker neck.
I need half of your neck and put it on mine, then we're good.
See, he's got a beaker neck, but he also looks incredibly handsome. I've been telling him this the whole time. He looks good since the last time I've seen him. You know, I think if you're right, if you had the length of your neck and just some of mine and Trey's girth, you'd have the perfect neck. Women would be falling over backwards for the Evan neck.
I think being out of journalism has actually aged me backwards in the last 8 or 9 months.
Oh my
actually.
God. I think that's 100% true, because me and Evan, as the podcast was getting started, I was showing him I can't say what I was showing him, but I wasn't showing him my wiener, don't worry. That's not why I can't tell you. If that's what I was doing, I would be very candid about it. But something very exciting about the podcast that me and Trey have been alluding to the last couple of days, and last couple of episodes, but I was giving Evan the lowdown there, and he was saying that I look older, and I think it's just the stress from the job. Journalism does it adds years to you. I mean, you look at my boss, you know, Matt Bainey. I mean, he had black hair at some point. You never knew him when he had black hair, though.
No, I think it was always silver.
Once he pulls out pictures every once in a while where he has the black hair, and it almost looks like he colored it in with a Sharpie, you know? Like, it does not look natural. Shout out to Matt. I know he does watch this.
Bainey looks good silver hair, though.
No, Bainey's the man.
It's a good look.
Bainey's the fucking man. He, Trey, you like Bainey, too. We go into Bainey's office before we shoot the last podcast yesterday, and Trey gets out of there. He's like, he seems like a really good guy.
Oh yeah.
That's just what he is, dude. He's a good guy. Yeah. Oh man. So Evan's living in Seattle.
Well, I was in Seattle one time. I told the story on the podcast, but I actually I seen Jordan Lucas before he like blew up, and he did the whole thing with Eminem. And I don't know. Have you ever been to Nemo's before, or Numo's? I forget what.
Oh yeah, I've been there for a couple concerts. Yeah.
So there was the venue, and I don't know if it's still there, but the one thing that always stuck out is I'm sitting there waiting in line, and across the street somewhere there was a bar, and on the windshield it said something to the effect of, you can't be homophobic, you can't be racist, and all this stuff, and I just thought to myself, what if I were to just go in and say all of the slurs?
And this was on a vehicle, you said?
No, it was like a bar.
Oh, like on the window of it?
Yeah, like on the window, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the Numos, I'm trying to think about where the neighborhood is. I mean, off the top of my head, I think that might be in the Capitol Hill area, and there's a lot of gay bars out there.
Oh, yeah.
the whole streets.
Evan would know.
He's a frequent guest.
may or may not have been there before.
It was funny. That one more story is, there was a guy in the line, and I was just overhearing their conversation. He was like, yeah, I went to the gay bar, but it was only because all the other bars were closed.
you're like, every bar in Seattle, Washington was closed? That's what's going to happen after Idaho passes like traditional family month. You know, that's like every straight bar is going to be closed, but the gay bars are going to stay open, and they're not going to acknowledge traditional family month. And that's how they're going to turn a bunch of radically right leaning men gay, is because the gay bars are the only ones open for traditional family month.
Family month?
Yeah, that's one of the new bills that Idaho legislature is trying to pass. It's a month between Mother's Day and Father's Day. That's called traditional family month. So basically,
if anything's gay, it's that.
Yeah, basically you get a 1 month free pass to beat your wife.
Really?
That's in the legislation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the fine print.
Are you lying to me? Is this legit?
The beat your wife part or the bill?
The bill.
Yeah, the bill's legit. The bill's legit. Brad Little did not include the beating your wife part. That's a bit. But the bill's real. Well, you know, Evan is, I'd say, you know, we've gotten really close the last fucking 2 years. And it probably is kind of a little gay. We haven't kissed on the mouth yet. But I've been real thankful for our friendship, you know. And that's probably going to be the gayest thing that I'll say in this podcast. But, you know, you've been there. Really appreciate you coming down from Seattle to do the podcast. You know, I'm not ending it here, obviously, but I just wanted to say I appreciate you and what you're doing for us, because this is a podcast that's going to grow. And then, you know, once this thing hits the stratosphere, you know, hopefully you're like a regular on the show.
I'll do that for you. I'll do that for you, Treeb.
Perfect. Well, you know, Trey, you got anything to shove in here? What's on your mind today? What have you been up to today?
Oh, well, I actually got some new pants.
Did you?
And wearing this is the first time I've broke out the short sleeve.
Ooh.
Thinking it's starting to become short sleeve weather pretty soon. So
That was the dumbest thing you brought up.
What?
I said, what'd you do today? Anything interesting to add? In this comedy podcast, I got Evan over here who's nervous as shit, has never said a word in his life, and then I got you over here who says, I bought new pants and it's short sleeve weather.
Yeah, don't. It's short sleeve weather, I think.
But I appreciate the confidence of what you said. It is short sleeve weather, though. It's short sleeve flannel season. Fucking Evan drove 6 hours to get here to Seattle from Seattle. You know, I have never driven on a freeway in my entire life. I am scared to drive. What is it like delivering pizzas every single day in Seattle? Do you want to kill yourself?
Most nights, yeah.
So
I'm a little outside of the downtown Seattle, but it actually is in one of those neighborhoods in that kind of bigger area of Seattle. It's still located in Seattle, not any other city around there. And there's this highway that goes down, I don't know, a good 50-100 miles, but it's in kind of a parallel to I-5 called Aurora Avenue, and I drive up and down that every day, and there it's crackhead infested, tons of prostitution.
Ooh, you ever hit that up?
I like looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say I've it hasn't crossed the mind.
So what kind of level of prostitutes are we talking about here? These aren't high level escorts by any means. What are these Seattle?
There's some high level ones, but they don't come out until the summer.
Okay.
So it's JV probably in the winter cold times.
What are these prostitutes looking like a Wednesday at 3 p.m. in Seattle?
Oh, I don't think they show up until 7. Oh, okay. On the street. Oh, okay. I think it's the shift's probably 7 to 1 a.m. or something like that. Okay. So I almost never see him in the daylight.
That'd be crazy if you saw a prostitute in the daylight. Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. I was wondering if these were some daytime hookers or not. You ever get approached by one of these night walkers?
No, they just, you know, they try to weigh me down in the car, but I've never actually or walked down those little hot spots where they're at. Like, I just haven't.
I think that's Trey's number one fear is the homeless, and women. But you know, I don't think our homeless here is near as bad. Do you have interactions with these homeless very often, or unhoused? Excuse me.
So I'm trying to think. Like, there's a lot of them, you know, on drugs, acting crazy, all the time. That you see them just walking down same pathway as you. But I would say, like, as far as interactions, they won't really bother you. They just kind of keep doing their own crazy shit. I feel like most of the time, but there is a lot of homelessness out there. There's a lot.
Do you have a regular homeless that you see often that you like? You know, do you see old Chester by the 7-Eleven and you just kind of, you always want to give him a dollar, but you can never really spare it?
Actually, yeah, I don't know his name, but there is one dude that comes to our store front door for a good you know, 20, 30 minutes every day.
Yeah.
You know, get some money, gets a couple of 40-ounce old Englishes, and he's on the road, and he's back.
On his way.
The Domino's sells old Englishes?
But there's a 7-Eleven right next door, too. Oh. So I forgot to mention that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our little strip or whatever of businesses. 7-Eleven, Domino's, teriyaki spot.
I totally guessed 7-Eleven, too.
You did say it.
Yeah, that's why. You know, it's Trey gets hyped up for the most random things. We went to, had to have been Vegas or California when we were kids, you know, 14, 16 years old. And we go to Vegas, and Trey is just so hyped to go to a 7-Eleven. Like,
they don't have them here. That's true.
Yeah. But it's like, what? So like 7-Eleven in the tiers of gas stations, I think worldwide is probably not even in the top three. Right. I mean, you got the one with what's the beaver one called? And it's in Texas.
Sandy Cheeks.
No, that's Trey's
a squirrel, not a beaver.
Yeah, no. And it might actually be a squirrel. Bucky's, is that what it's called? Bucky's sounds right, maybe.
And it's in Texas?
Yeah.
I thought it was like just a bunch of Dollar Generals down there.
You're like Bucky's. You're like, are you talking about the two no neck having fuckers that are looking at me right now?
Do they have Mavericks in Seattle? Yeah.
No, I don't see any Mavericks anywhere. Yeah. You have to go, like, I think some of them are, like, in Eastern and Central Washington, but in that, like, the West Side, I have never seen a Maverick. But there's, like, three in this area alone, right?
Yeah, and three Mavericks? No, there's only one. We have a lot of Nom Noms.
Oh, that's the other one. See, don't have a Nom Nom as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be Zip Trips or whatever. Rebranded, but yeah, Maverick's kind of like our big cool gas station. We lived right by a gas station growing up, like literally right down the sidewalk gas station. We'd go there all the time every day. That's like the thing you do. You beg your mom for 4 quarters to get a fountain drink, type of shit.
Good times.
And then, you know, when I was like 19, that like literally they just decided to make that gas station 24/7 out of nowhere, like just made it 24/7, and I was living at my parents' house, and that's when I
oh, that's dangerous.
First discovered I was an alcoholic, and so I hammer home like probably, you know, I don't like to count beers, you know, but probably like 12 beers, drink like a whole 12 pack, and then I wanted more, and I knew I was really good friends with the guy that worked at Liberty Market. I'd see him every day, and I go over there. And then I walk in hammered as shit with the beer I'm drinking at like 3:30 in the morning. And I'm just talking to this gas station attendant, drinking a beer underage in the gas station, just talking his ear off. And then like he didn't even notice I was drinking the beer. I was putting it in my pocket and taking sips. And then he finally saw me and he's like, dude, you can't do that in here. You're on camera, dude. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I got like, you know, Treve, you've had enough drunk conversations with me to know I get emotional sometimes. So that I got, I'm like, I don't want you to lose your job, bro. I got so sad, you know, saying that this guy is probably making $8.50 an hour to work the graveyard shift. And then I dipped out. He didn't lose his job, but he does work at Maverick now. And like my parents know him and stuff. And like we still talk every once in a while. It's kind of, that's a funny gas station story.
Alcoholic Trebe.
Ugh.
That's a good story.
That's the worst. That's what we're trying to get away from.
That kind of reminds me of you know, having a 3 a.m. night at your house or something several years back, and then I wanted to get food. But I was, you know, I had no idea if this place even had a 24-hour
gas station.
No, fast food.
Oh, fast food.
Fast food. And then I remember you saying it was Jack in the Box is the only one. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, are you serious? Is that the only one? Uh-huh. And he was like, I wouldn't lie to you.
I wouldn't lie to that. That is.
I'm not known to lie. I'm known for my candidness. No. The worst place I ever was for fast food was when I lived in Sandpoint for 6 months. That they didn't have shit. They didn't have nothing and no 24-hour places, and I lived like 30 minutes away from town. So, like, I mean, as somebody with a crippling fast food addiction, that was the worst.
Might help you in the long run, though.
But... it didn't, because I just ended up moving back to my hometown.
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
I would have, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you, I mean, you know, I don't mean that I've been kind of just glazing you this whole episode, but, you know, you look good. I mean, have you lost any weight? You getting in better shape or anything like that?
Well, I've been playing basketball. I was in a league, like a male men's league in fall. That got me.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, pretty in shape.
You never talked about that. How'd that go?
Oh, you know, we were in a little, like, 8-team kind of casual league. Went 4-4.
Hey, that's 500. That's 500.
Made the playoffs. And then we lost in the semifinals. And then we lost a 20-point lead in the second half in the third-place game. So, and finished 4-6 after the playoffs.
500's pretty good. 500's pretty good. You guys probably would have ran through a Lewis and Rec team.
Oh, yeah.
That, that's for sure. We have nothing but Mormons on there.
Oh, my God. We were talking about Mormons today. Is there a lot of Mormons in Seattle? There's a, I mean, I feel like you're either, like, doing meth or freaking Sunday school over here, you know.
You know, I grew up with a lot of Mormon kids in school, but I wouldn't say there's a lot of them.
No.
I'd say I've probably seen more. What are they called when they do their mission?
Jesus Christ. That's a fucking cooth, which, God damn. So Jehovah's Witnesses that don't, like, celebrate Christmas and shit. And, like, they'd go to, like, the computer lab and play cool math for kids while you guys had, like, holiday parties. Like, those kind of kids.
Yeah, I'd say there. But I don't know what you're talking about, the Jehovah's Witness, though.
Isn't that what you said?
No, Mormons.
Oh, well, I thought you were saying...
Are they the same thing to you?
I thought you were saying they weren't Mormons, it was a different religion.
No, there were.
Oh, okay.
There were.
Sorry, I was in a fucking haze over here. I don't know if you just saw that fat cloud train blue for no reason.
I like to keep you on your toes.
Sure. Yeah. Keep you blinded. Anyway, sorry about that. But there was a lot of Mormons, or... so-so Mormons in Seattle. I think I graduated with probably 400 kids. There were probably 215 Mormons.
Yeah, well, that's
a lie.
That was half this class, but
I don't think there was that much. I was probably overestimating.
But I've probably seen what is it called when they go on their little mission.
That's Mormons, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but like when they're doing that, I've seen more people. Like, more dudes walk around and talk to people about...
That's Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, I swear it's Mormon.
Jehovah's Witnesses are the ones that knock on the door, I think...
They might both use that tactic.
I don't know. I know that whichever ones are the ones that knock on the door, old people use the shit out of them. They'll make them, like, rake leaves and fucking put them to work.
Sure, you're not talking about Amish people.
No, Amish people do that for themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
These are just freelance Mormons going around doing
work for the Lord's work.
Yeah, doing the God's work.
You played basketball and you went 4-4. Did you you run into any like super teams? Did you guys get dog walked at all? Did you guys have any close games, tight games, big wins, anything like that?
Well, I'd say like the team we faced in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
We had beat them twice in the regular season. They were two of our wins, but they took us down.
Damn.
Jumped up by 20 on us early and we were trying to fight back and couldn't do it. It was tough, but they had this one big guy who was just a wrecking ball going down into the lane. None of us could we had to foul him like every time. None of us could really stack up. You know, I'm talking like you know, linebacker bod. Like, you maybe like 6'1 and 260 of muscle. 250, 260.
You have a cell phone salesman bod.
Yeah, but like a T-Mobile, not a Metro PCS.
Yeah, like a Verizon. You wear a suit to work every day.
Did you just come up with that one, or you've been?
Yeah, I came up with that one.
That ain't bad for just on the fly.
Yeah, that was on the spot. Yeah. You can continue.
You have the Big Five sporting goods salesman.
Oh, that's good. That's why I thought of it. That's why I thought of it. I think you hit the nail on the head. That was good. He also worked at a Big Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you have any stories? What would you say? And I'm gonna ask you this: what is the craziest thing you've seen while you were delivering pizzas? Or has there been anything you've seen? Because I imagine nowadays it's like you don't even have to talk to anyone. You just throw the pizza on the door and then walk off. But
yeah, I'd say like about half of them are leave it at the door, maybe 40-50%, maybe somewhere in that range. But the craziest thing so far was there's this kind of ghetto apartment complex that's on this long stretch of road that has like 6 or 7 apartment complexes on it that are pretty, you know, the dangerous area. And then I came into work one day, and the work group chat, this guy was saying on there that the SWAT team was at that spot. And so I had to drive down that road just to see it going into work.
Yeah.
And we're talking 3-4 SWAT cars. We're talking snipers at the ready. Just waiting for, they were looking for someone. I don't know. I haven't done enough digging there to know what happened, but I would guess it's drug related, just off the top of my head.
That's a good guess.
Well, since we're talking, we're doing story times, I've been trying to ask Treeb if he could tell the story about because I always get a kick out of it the whole time, about the first time you went to Hempfest. If you could tell the viewers that story.
That's a good one. You ever go to, Seattle probably has something similar. Did you ever go to like a Hempfest growing up?
Yeah, there was a Hempfest in Seattle.
Yeah, so they had a Hempfest in Moscow, Idaho. How does that make sense? Doesn't really.
Well, it does make, the entire city of Moscow doesn't really make sense. So
no.
It does.
Yeah, I guess
it's add not. Up. But I didn't have no idea that they would do that.
Yeah, and it used to be really cool because you used to be able to just buy edibles at the Hempfest. But as the years went on, years turned on, you know, it got more just about
watered down.
Yeah, it just became more about the herb and the vibes and the tie-dye blankets, and it's like, how gay and retarded is that? Like I don't want to do that. I'd never have wanted to self tie dye anything in my life. I want to get fucking blitzed and listen to bluegrass. But I decided to, so me and all the boys decided to go to Hempfest one year. We heard about it. It was sophomore year of high school, and we all load up into our friend's car, and there's like 5 of us, and you know, none of us have eaten edibles before, so we didn't know what the effects were going to be. And when we went to get the edibles, we were freaking first in line, and thank God we were, because it's like all these people, none of them were here for the tie-dye fucking goddamn blankets. Like all of them were here to get stoned. It was obvious. And it wasn't even like there was no like pull up tent. There was no like, you know, way to know who's selling them. There was just one old couple in the middle of the park with a cooler. That was it. And you just knew what the transaction was going to be, and you better have had cash. There's no fucking Apple Pay, no Zelle, no Venmo, none of that stuff. So we go up there, pay $10 for an edible, and it's the most disgusting thing we've ever ate in our life. You remember old school edibles?
Yeah. Well, I'm just sitting here wondering how they even sold you it in Idaho.
That's what I was saying. Like, it, none of it made sense. It was like the one day a year that Idaho police just said, go fucking buck wild.
So they just didn't care for the day.
No. And there was cops that were there. And it's like they had a permit. It's like they had like a we get to sell edibles here for one day permit, you know? And they must have ran out. Must have only been for like 3 years. So
I wonder the reason why they stopped doing it.
Probably a bunch of teenagers got too high and then fucking, you know, got in trouble. But, you know, we're probably 15, 16 at the time. And they tasted like shit. You remember like old edibles? None of them tasted good. Now, you go to a weed store anywhere and they taste fine. But back in the day, they just tasted like you ate a nug of weed. Like, that's what they tasted like. And so I ate like a whole cookie and, you know, we don't feel anything, whatever. So then we decide to go to Subway. And as we go into Subway, fucking hits me right in Subway like a ton of bricks. Like, I still have not been more stoned in my entire life. It's the most high I've ever been. And I go in there and it's like, I felt like Raven Simone having a flashback and That's So Raven, you know? Like, I stood there and it just, everything went forward. A crazy moment. And, you know, I felt like the counter to order my sandwich was like 10 miles away. As I finally made it there, the guy's like, what do you want? And I was like, meatball marinara.
I was about to say it had to be the meatball marinara.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a meatball marinara kind of guy. I like a good sloppy Joe, too. I bet you could read that.
You seem like a sloppy Joe guy.
I'm a sloppy Joe guy. I'm a guy who likes to lick my fingers after eating Cheetos.
Sorry, that was funny.
But so I go up there, I order my sandwich, I say meatball marinara, and then he asks me about bread, whatever, and he's like, do you want it toasted? And I just go, huh? And he's like, do you want it toasted? And then I was like, no, sorry. I said no, sorry. And then he's like, are you sure? And then at this point, I think he like knows I'm high. And you remember like in high school when you thought people knew you were high, you got like really paranoid. I was like super paranoid at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, no, don't fucking toast. And like, he's like, you're going to have cold meatballs. I was like, that's fine. That's cool. He's like, okay. You know.
Was it still good?
Well, hold on. So then they're like, what vegetables do you want on it? I'm like, lettuce. And he's like, anything else? And I'm like, nah.
I respect it, though.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah. And then he asked me what cheese I wanted before all this. And I said, I'm fine.
Meatball, lettuce, and bread.
Yeah, meatball, lettuce, and bread. And then I go in to reach my hand in my pocket to pay, and like I feel like my hand is just growing and like pulsating, and I'm nervous. Like, I feel my heartbeat, and I can't put my hand in my pocket. So my friend had to literally put his hand in my pocket to get my wallet out and pay for me. And then they had like an automatic change dispenser, and the change comes out. And granted, my hand is like 10 feet at this point, you know, completely expanded.
Wow.
Like Shaquille O'Neal at this point. And then I put my hand in there, and as I grab the change, I don't get a single one, and it all just falls on the floor, and I just left it. And I went and sat down and eat my sandwich, and I was like, ah, it's somebody else's problem. And I took one bite of my cold meatballs and lettuce, and it was probably the worst thing I've ever ate in my entire life.
That is an iconic story.
I can't believe that you just told me that story. I mean, it's just, I can feel the disappointment, like, if that happened to me.
Oh,
to not enjoy the sandwich after all that.
Oh, you know.
And then to, you know, fuck up the sandwich yourself.
Oh, dude, it was so bad. Like, it's a fun story in retrospect, but I did not have a good time. Like, that was awful.
You hate to see it.
No. Have you ever had cold meatballs and lettuce?
No.
Don't recommend it.
Don't recommend it.
It's not very good.
And you'd probably get sick.
Yeah, no, I took one bite of it and I threw it away. You know, but that was back in like 2016, 2015, so, you know.
And I feel like now that I'm hearing the story, I feel like the reason you said you didn't want it toasted is you probably thought he was asking you, are you toasted?
That's a good point.
And then you're that's why you kept saying no, no. I wasn't.
You know, Trey is somebody who people oftentimes think is high, but he has never done any drugs ever. He's just very high on life.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. You ever get that vibe? Does Trey seem like a stoned fella?
I thought he was stoned right now.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
He.
I've had a few people like in my days. Like, I don't think like growing up, and I don't know if that's because everyone that I hung out with kind of knew me, and that's kind of how it is. But like when I would just like meet other people and stuff, they would always say that to me. They're like, "You seem like you're high." Or whatever, and I'm like, no, never done.
Did you ever have a narc in your family or somebody that would tell on you for smoking weed?
Oh, nope, I was good.
Were you good?
Small family.
So this guy, he would tell on me all the time. He was the biggest snitch in the world, but...
Come on.
In his defense, though, I would hide my weed in his room.
Oh, that's so hilarious about how you... it's like freaking midnight, and then... And then he's just walking into your room. It's like, mom and dad's never going to check here. He just hides it in there.
That's exactly why I did it. Because they would never check in his room. So I would literally just hide my weed in there. You know?
Yeah.
I was like the master plan.
And then, what, did they ever find that?
So what would happen is, and they would have never found it. And they probably still would have never known that I spoke to this day. I probably would have told them eventually. But, you know, I think I wouldn't, they wouldn't have found out organically. The only reason is because Trey, anytime he'd get mad at me, he would just tell on me. That's all he would do. And he would tell on me if he was mad, or he'd tell on me if he was concerned. So we went to a Tech N9ne concert one time, and worst smelling event I ever went to, by the way.
Oh.
If you want to know what 500 people with body odor smells like.
Tech N9ne.
If you want to smell what teenage no spirit smells like, if you want to know what I cannot think
of any other artist than...
maybe Insane Clown Posse,
yeah,
but that's
definitely.
About it.
Yeah.
Was this that the good old Knitting Factory?
Nail on the head.
I was about to say that's the only place you could go see a high ticket concert.
I went to see Young Gravy there. That was pretty cool.
That's a pretty big venue for Gravy, to be honest.
Yeah, well, dude, he's done some big venues. He was at Beasley. I mean, that's a big...
Was he actually? I thought he was in Moscow.
No, he was. But he also did Beasley, too, I think.
Oh,
okay. He's a man of the Palouse. He's a, you know...
That's your number one.
Yeah. T Grizzly was in Pullman, and I didn't even know about it. The only way I knew about it was because Bainey told me. Like, how do you know?
Yeah, I wonder how he knew. But that's sad that he knew before you. Really sad.
I know. I throw stuff at you too, and it's funny. Trey brought up a good point, and I think you could kind of attest to it too. Like he's like, dude. He's like, when you get mad, you're just mean. Like, you go for the fucking jugular. And, like, I mean, not with you per se, but, like, I've talked shit about some people, like, I don't like to you, and I'll go, ham.
Well, it's funny, because when I was even thinking about you just going off that story, there was a show that I was watching, The Ultimate Fighter. It's, like, a reality show.
Classic, yeah.
And, so, like, but it was, like, you know, they're just talking in the house, and, you know, they're just talking, and one of the guys said something to the other guy that the other guy thought was disrespectful, but he was just, like, messing around. And then the other guy responded, "So is your mom a bitch, too?" and then I was like, yeah, that's Treeb, 100%.
It's hard to turn it off sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I also think, like, if I don't make fun of you, like, I don't, you know, I don't love you. But it's also kind of like, I told this story in literally last week's podcast, now going into this one, like, I was just bullied in seventh grade, dude. So I would just I would just fucking come up with these zingers, and then I had them loaded. So now I'm just trying to come up with them.
I bet it was all for defensive purposes too at the beginning. Or were you just that big of a piece of shit that you asked for it?
Well, like Trey said, I kind of asked for it with one of the things because I was a rapper, and you know, people didn't like that in Idaho. They were very upset. I told, and I won't go too deep into the story because I told the whole thing, but I'll give you a little background and get your take on it. But I posted my rap lyrics one time onto Facebook, and a girl I went to schools with dad messaged me from her Facebook and told me to take that N-word music off of my profile.
Brutal.
To give up on music because I'll never make it.
Yeah, you could have been what's the one Lewison rapper that kind of made it big on sound? David Shoddy?
Yeah, dude.
You were on the come up. You're about to be David Shoddy. Didn't people make fun of him too?
I know, dude. If only I made a song about a. I had to come out with Toyota before he made Honda, you know? If I just did that, then fuck.
Well, you missed your boat by about 3 years. If you would have started rapping in the Valley, like in 2015, 2016, I bet you could have made it, probably.
I know, I just missed the boat. And I was talking about, like, I had a Facebook memory come up, like, not that long ago, where, like, somebody just tagged me in a post of, like, this kid that was my age rapping on America's Got Talent, and it was like, you know, one of those corny videos where the kid's like, I'm only 12 years old. I can rap like this, you know? And they tagged me in it, and they're like, see, Trevin, this is how a 12-year-old's supposed to rap. This is actually good. And, like, three of my classmates commented on it, like, ha, so much better. Trevin sucks. And I'm just like, damn, dude. Like, why were people so mean to me?
I think it was probably pretty bad.
Well, it was never good. Oh, no. No. No, I was not good. I think I have a line in the song that I know I can find where I say, I bleed for my fans. I don't have any fans. I was just cutting myself because I was depressed. I never cut myself.
You had me scared there for a sec.
Yeah, no, I think the sad thing is that there's no Trix, no Thunder T in the archives. It all got erased over time.
No Batista B619.
There's a few Batista B619s out there.
These were all my old rap names and YouTube channels. Evan, if you were able to go on Survivor, what would your archetype be? Would you be a comp beast, a social strategist? How would you go about your time on Survivor?
Well, you know, I think I would definitely, like, I'd be around a little bit because I'm athletic enough in the challenges, I think. I feel like that would be, like, number one, but I wouldn't bank on that because a lot of the individual stuff, like, gets harder with puzzles, and I don't really think I'd end up being, like, an individual challenge beast. But I'd go with that, and then I'd try to make friends with everybody. I would just try to be cool, and I feel like I could make that happen, and I could just get a little foothold in the game that way.
Do you think you have a mind for the strategy part of the game, or do you think you'd just be more of like a social guy?
Probably social. I don't think I'd be the one spearheading big moves. At least I don't think so. But, you know, who knows unless you've played that. Maybe a different animal would come out. And especially me with no food. People who know me, I get that. I get hangrier than anybody. So I don't know what would come out on the anger side of my brain during that part.
That makes sense. That makes sense that you would be more of a friendly comp beast given who you like in Survivor history. You always kind of like the people that aren't the best strategists and that are kind of just like randomly okay players.
Like Jake from 45.
Yeah.
Jake was not a good strategic player.
No, but I love him too. Yeah. I was thinking
you love him. You want? He's the underdog.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more of like how you brought up, God, who'd you like, Devin? Fucking.
Yeah, there's probably not many people that
need Devin for season 50. I said, what? You need him.
He was just a. If Ben didn't find that idol, that last idol,
yeah,
and then there wasn't the they didn't bring back fire making, Devin had it in the bag.
Yeah, that's how it's also how you feel about like Xander. You're like, give me Xander again.
Kind of the same. That's the same architect. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Although I think
Ryan too. It's just
Ryan. Now that's just kind of a clowning one a little bit with Ryan, but you know I'd like to see it again. Yeah. It's in the wish list.
I'm fucking hyped for season 50 though. I'm excited to have you here to talk a little Survivor. We won't get too in the weeds because Trey will just be sitting there not knowing what we're talking about. Trey used to watch Survivor a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, you're more Big Brother though than Survivor, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I ever got on Survivor or like one of them shows, I wouldn't make it. A, I'm not charismatic. B, I'm not good looking at all. Athletic. But if I was one of those things, I'm coming for the neck. Like, you got...
Because we don't have much of one, so we need some extra neck, and that's what Trey's coming for.
I think the one thing that, like, made me upset about those TV shows was, you know, you get all these people that are just excited to be there, and they forget about what the prize is, like $500,000, like... They say, oh, how can you rip that guy off? How can you stab him in the back? It's like, it's $500,000. Fuck him. Like, I'm going for it.
A lot of people do go on those shows to play summer camp. Man, I can go on and on about Survivor, but that's why I think season 50, you know, if or around then, we should start a Survivor podcast. We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can't get too involved in Survivor, otherwise we're gonna be here all night for sure with me and you.
Yeah, I know.
Treeb's the only person that likes Survivor as much as me.
I know.
And he likes it more.
I'm a nerd. I know. I'm a fucking true nerd about the shit.
Before 50 comes out though, I'll be caught up on all the seasons.
Yeah. It was I remember when I found out you liked Survivor and we just like nerded out about it for like still to this day.
Survivor and Juice World.
Oh my god, Juice. I'm like out of Juice World now. Like, but it makes sense that you like Juice World. Doesn't he give off I like Juice World energy?
Yeah.
Sad boy vibes?
Sad boy. Were you a Triple X fan back in the day?
Not as much.
Not as
I
much.
Like Lil Peep. I like Lil Peep better.
Yeah.
You preferred X videos?
Oh yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, if you prefer that over, Trey's favorite website. What was it again?
Onlygrannies.com. Feetfinder.com. Well, you know, we're an hour and 5 minutes in. This is getting close to the longest podcast we've ever done. There's probably going to be some, you know, like the last podcast, some heavy editing because there has been some dicey things said. So it's going to be, you know, some final calls to decide what we keep in and what we don't. But this is everybody's favorite part of the show. Trey has been heavily writing. He's a modern day comedian with these these writings he's done. We've pressured him to write different bits and different Treyisms for three podcasts in a row. We are recording these 3 days in a row, and Trey has something today. So Trey, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I messed up second time because all my notes, I can remember a good bit of it, but all my notes are actually on my phone.
That makes sense.
But I'll try to see if I can remember.
This is how this is how you'll test if you're a good comedian, because you got to remember your bits.
Yeah.
This must be a good one.
I know. I don't know if I can get through it. So there's this Mexican that gets caught. At the border, right?
Naturally, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to switch from that and talk about the time when I found a cure for blindness. And I'll finish that Mexican joke earlier. So I'm taking a shower, right? Now I know by looking at me, you're probably like, this motherfucker don't shower.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I'm just not very good at it. So I'm in there getting my hygiene on. Shampoo gets in my eyes. Like I said, I'm not very good at it. Not very good at it.
Yeah.
So shampoo gets your eyes. I'm blind for like half a second. Boom, my dick hits the wall.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized if I was ever blind, I wouldn't need a dog. I wouldn't need an aide. I just need to walk on with a massive erection. That way, if I'm close to hitting the wall, my dick's gonna hit it before my face does. And in fact, I think we should go beyond this and allow blind people to play football. Yeah. Can you imagine if you had a blind quarterback? He completes a pass.
The defense
will be completely demoralized, and they'll just quit and leave the game. And really, they won't be able to see the receivers. And when it comes to sensing the pressure, they can usually sense it, except for the blind side.
Oh! Is that it?
I mean, there's probably a few more, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
Dude, you remembered like almost all of that.
Yeah.
Great job, Trey.
That
was good. That's a good it's a good bit.
Poetry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good comedic writing. I like the blind quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I was like, I think that they should play quarterback. Because you imagine if you completed a pass.
Yeah, once I'm able to get my phone, I'll try to read off some of my other stuff.
Yeah,
that's about all I can remember, but I know I have a few gems written down.
That's good. But I know we got you can keep some of them under tap too. So that's good. You didn't burn all of them. Got him mad. So yeah, we talked about Evan being a pizza delivery driver. Used to be a journalist. We're trying to, you know, hopefully he gets back into it. I think this is a good step in that direction. I think you got the chops for not only being a journalist, but I think you could be a good content creator alongside of me and Trey, you know.
No, without a doubt. You know, it's sad not being around it.
I know.
It's, you know, there's some emptiness in my heart for sure right now, but I'll be back. I'll do something again.
It is super sad you're not around it. It's super sad not having you around it because it's better when you're in it, because you know you're talented, you're good at what you do, at everything that you know makes a journalist and makes somebody that would succeed in this space, and you know it's rightfully so. You know you're in this job right now to save money, but once you you know, feel like you can get back into this business, you're gonna succeed, and you're gonna be one of the best at it, because you have that talent, you have that drive, and I believe in you.
Man, that's straight to the heart. Are you sure you're not drunk? Because that's a drunk dream thing to do right there. I mean, there was so much love there.
Well,
thank you though.
Yeah, I want the people to know that he's Evan's got, you know. He's got a lot to him. He's a great writer. I mean, you got probably the shittiest end of the stick out of anybody I've ever met in terms of the business. Like there are people that I know that have done the journalism content, things like that, that aren't half as talented as you, that are doing things at a grander level, and it's frustrating to see, but it is something that I know you know, and something that I definitely know that you'll get to and that you'll be at. But it is gay and retarded to see see that.
I do like feel like some of that stuff in this journalism space right now is kind of the luck of the draw sometimes. And sometimes those jobs don't open up. I just think I haven't been looking at the correct time when something that really sparks me pops up, you know? And you've been there.
Yeah. Well, and we're kind of the exact opposite in that sense. Like, I've been extremely lucky. I got, like, I mean, right out of high school, getting a journalism job, really building relationships with, you know, Don, who, you know, rest in peace, one of the greats, got me a job back here. And then now I'm doing what I'm doing because Bainey's in his position and, you know, helped me get a job. And, you know, I've been real fortunate, but this business, there's a reason to believe it might not be around for a super long time, but I think it's going to be around for at least our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, that's so hard to say. It's funny that you brought that up, because I think about that all the time.
I do too.
Well, how long will it last?
That's a good question. I think we should answer that. And then Trey, as an outsider looking in on the sports journalism field, let's take out, you want to, you want, are you more thinking about newspapers, or are you thinking about the whole industry?
I guess I would say, like, I guess newspaper, but local media as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, so, it doesn't have to be a newspaper, but I mean.
Because I think there's always going to be a hunger for, like for professional sports to get coverage and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, I think that's always going to be a thing. But as far as, like, local coverage, local news and things, you know, Trey, you're not a expert really in that field. But as an outsider, what do you think?
You know, I think it's always going to be around to some degree. Because, like, people want to hear the news. It just might be, like, a different field. I mean, really, it's like any other industry, you know. McDonald's, and I just read the story about there's one McDonald's in Texas that's, like, fully automated, like, driven by AI. But when you talk about the journalism business, how are they going to get a, they're going to have, like, AI read off the news? And it's like, who, and at the same time, it's like, people always complain about, you know, name your professional journalist. Oh, I can't stand Stephen A. Smith. I can't stand,
yeah, but that's like
Skip Bayless.
Really,
but like, even if, like, you're just a casual viewer, like, say you don't work in journalism and you're just, you know, looking for news about local events, whether that be sports, politics, would you rather have someone cover it who you might not like? Or would you just rather have, like, a complete AI, just, like, monotone cover? Like, I feel like you need someone with at least personality that you can feel one way or another. Just like in Survivor. Like, you might hate a guest mate, but the worst you can be is boring, because then people don't care for you either way.
That was a real good analogy. I like that. But that's good. That's a good take from an outsider looking in. My whole thing with the AI, and this could be different at different newspapers, whatever. I can only talk about my experience. But here, it's like, we have an AI policy, whatever. It's like extremely bare bones. But, like, the business is, like, so focused on doing everything else, especially daily operations, that it's almost like we don't have time to focus on AI and how it would make our jobs easier, or even, like, take over our jobs, you know. And, like, the owners of this paper particularly are so driven by the people in the building that I don't see how that would happen here. I think the only way that this paper goes down is financially. But I think, you know, as far as the robots taking over, I don't think that'll happen in a grander scale. The thing is, it's going to take, I think it takes a while.
I get it. It has been hitting at a bigger scale right now, though. I mean, was the bigger scale when 2020?
That's what I was, like, thinking.
But, you know, what if it is? Because there just aren't those jobs. We don't have 8 sports writers in the bullpen. No paper has that anymore.
I guess. Yeah, I know you're right. And I guess it's something more that I'm ignorant to, I suppose. Like, because I don't really know what's going on in bumfuck Oklahoma. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if their sports staff is operational. Like, I don't know how they're operating, but I would assume it's very similar to how it is in bumfuck Idaho, you know. But it is happening, and
I'm surprised that they don't have AI taking over your pizza delivery job. I mean, that's probably closer.
Oh, the automatic cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen one before.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Arizona?
That's scary. Yeah.
It's just a car that drove by us. With no one in the seat.
I hate that, actually.
Yeah. But so I feel like that, like, I have not seen one of those cars in Seattle, ever.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think it'll be a while there before,
before a pizza
chain invests all of these cars to take it.
Well, that's another thing, too, with, like, Domino's. Like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know Domino's is pretty innovative when it comes to, delivering pizzas. And I can't really think of one off the top of my head, though, but I know. And
how are they innovative in the way they deliver pizzas?
Yeah.
what makes their delivery so special? Because in my opinion, you can't out Pizza the Hut.
You can't out Pizza the Hut. I will say Domino's. You can't find any good wings in the Valley. That's another critique, and I know that because I had Wingstop for the first time. But if we're talking about pizza, I think Domino's probably has the best wings. But I would imagine if anyone orders wings from Domino's in Seattle, they're nasty because they probably have a dozen wing spots they can go to there.
And Evan probably just got done wiping his chlamydia crotch all over. That's how they get their zest.
When did you get Wingstop?
No, it's in Spokane. They have it, yeah.
Did you go all the way out there just for that?
No, it was just, yeah. I would, though, probably. Fuck, I would. That's how good it was. I would.
Did you hear that fuck he let out? that's something only Wingstop can do to a man.
Yeah.
No, but that what you went through at the Everett Herald is actually bananas. Like, that's something.
It was bananas.
That's something that very few people in any industry can say they went through. And I felt for you, you know, I, what was like, cause I mean, you got to take me back kind of, did you just directly know or think that you couldn't or didn't want to go back into sports from then? Or did you try applying? How did that work again after that?
Oh, well, It took a while to for that layoff to actually be, like, official.
I remember that, yeah.
So I was kind of, like, just waiting and taking some of my sick time and PTO and, you know, doing minimal work when I had to for weeks and weeks and weeks until they finally, you know, came to an agreement with the union. And then that's when they cut half of the newsroom. It was, like, I don't know how many people got 12. 13 people laid off. Yeah. But I didn't, I, the Seattle Times was hiring, but didn't hear anything back from them. I tried, but I may have not tried my hardest.
But I mean, where does Big Five rank in the jobs that you've had?
Oh, it might be the worst one.
The worst one?
It might be the lowest on the totem pole. That job was annoying.
Why? What, you know what? My least diver.
A bunch of old people coming in and wanting shoes, but then telling me they don't want shoes that's made from China.
Yeah. Like,
and then me telling you, okay, here's our one pair. And then they say they don't like it. That's every day. It was so annoying. When I was serving tables, at least I got tipped for just listening to that garbage.
I mean, do you want your shoes made from China?
Uh-huh. I don't care.
The only
it's going to be cheaper.
That is true. The number one sold item at that that store was the freaking Dad Barbecuer 5000.
Oh, Air Monarchs.
Yeah,
had them in three colorways.
Yeah. Dude,
the all black one.
Yeah, I hated that job too. It was my first ever job. It was Big Five. And what pissed me off about that job was two things. One, that we had to dress up for it, and it was a fucking shoe sales job. Like, I'm dressed, I'm literally dressed like a divorced dad that's trying to fight for custody of the kids.
Like, and the worst part of it is, like, I pit worse than anybody I know. So, like, I would see stains fucking going on by 15 minutes into my shift. So, you know, and I'd have a gray shirt. Dumb move. And it'd be game over. I'd be, yeah, terrible. And I remember back in the day, I'd work, like, four-hour shifts. And those just, they felt like such long shifts back then.
Well, it does feel, the 4 hours feels long at Big Five, because when you're standing around.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, that's the worst.
No one's coming in. And we had one boss, I think he was there when you were there, bald guy. Yeah. Yeah. He took his job way too seriously. Oh, yeah. Like, way, way too seriously. That was, like, I remember... And the second biggest reason why I hated that job was fucking vacuuming. I hated vacuuming that joint, dude. You'd have to freaking do that thing top to bottom. And freaking, if you didn't vacuum good enough, that bald-headed motherfucker would ruin your day. He'd say, you missed a spot. And you'd have to freaking get the vacuum out again. God, I hated it.
I'm, like, picturing the vacuuming now and the way... That you had to just, I just got unnecessary stress.
It's the worst. That was, so I worked there, and then I worked at Albertsons. And I worked at Albertsons for all of, like, 2 weeks. And I remember I worked at the customer service desk. And when I worked there, some lady wanted to do a money order for, like, $9,000. And fucking, I didn't know how to do the money order. Okay, I fucking barely paid attention, and the lady that was training me had left me alone to do this money order. I fucked it up, and I cost the store like $9,000. Like, they had to, like, empty the, because I fucked it up so bad, like, I did something wrong, and then the store had to take like $9,000 out of its cash register to pay the lady.
No,
I'm not even joking.
Dead serious.
This is like something that actually happened.
You started at Albertsons. And you managed to lose them 9,000 within 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, that's a real story too. That's...
You would never last in a job that wasn't content creating.
I know.
You would never last.
Bad. Well, actually, I thrived at Walmart.
Okay. Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, then I think I quit the first time because I went to go sell cars. Sucked at that.
Not a cheap job. Not a cheap job.
Any job that requires me to dress up is not a job for me. I fucking pit too easily. Like, everybody that was trying to buy a car from me knew they had me hook, line, and sinker by my sweat stains. You know, like, I couldn't lie. I sold two cars, I think. I sold one to, like, my friend who bought a car from me. And he still drives it to the day, which is pretty cool. Every time he comes in, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, who sold you that car? You know, like a 40-year-old man. And then I sold another car to a guy who had a 450 credit score. And I was working on him for 16 hours. Sold him the car. Quit like a week later. Went back to Walmart. Went to the B. Fucking hated the B. Came back here. That's how I got here. Trey used to drive trucks.
18 wheelers.
All 18 were accounted for every trip.
See a lot lizards out there. It's even the lower end than the Seattle hookers, probably.
Are you guys Canadian?
No, but I love Canada.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big Trailer Park Boys fan.
That's where the Treyisms come
from. Yeah.
I remember hearing something about it. We talked about that on the last pod, Trey. Yeah.
He doesn't even remember you. You think he remembers the pod?
Oh, I do. I remember the...
That's true.
I remember the...
It is a little disrespectful.
Well, I remember the issues we ran into. And I think...
It wasn't the best because...
Yeah. Well, and I think I even made a comment. I was like, dude, we're sorry. Like, I might have to spot you a few dollars just for... all the inconvenience we caused you that day.
Are you going to give him the few dollars?
Do you have cash out?
You couldn't spot that bum a couple dollars yesterday. but you could spot Evan some.
Oh, that's a good callback, Treeb. It's a good. Well, I know that guy. I know.
I'm waiting for a better opportunity to cash in on the money.
All right, sounds good. There might come a time where you need a favor from me, and you'll let me know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sounds good. So. But I know that guy didn't have Cash App, so.
That guy was the most I have a home homeless person
I've ever seen.
Yeah, he. So I'm arguing with Trey in the parking lot of the Tribune.
Typical.
Because you are the most hard-headed person I've ever met in my life. I tell him to bring a mic for the next podcast, and he says, "I don't want to do that." That's
it's
it.
It's a little bit more nuanced than that, but
please explain that.
Pull up the text.
Please explain.
Pull up the text.
No, go ahead. Explain the story. Go.
So that I say, it's no skin off your ass. You don't have to take any of the blame. And he said, "I'm not gonna do it." and then I say, "All right, whatever." Blah blah blah. We keep arguing, and in the middle of this argument, you know, and it's about as heated as a Pixley argument can get. So it's like our voices aren't raised at all, and we sound really calm the whole time.
I'm about to take my shirt off.
Yeah, his pants are already off.
Yeah.
And this guy in a Columbia jacket just comes up to us, and it's like, "Do you not see what's going on here?" And he says, "Do any of you guys have change?" "No, none of us have change." And he's like, "Not even a couple of quarters?"
No.
"No, dude, and if I had some spare change to give you, I'd give you my fucking nickels and dimes, all right? I wouldn't give you my premium coin that I have in here, all right? You're not getting my quarters, you're not getting my half dollars, you're not getting my Sacagawea coins, all right? You're not getting any of my top tier coins that I have here, all right?" But he leaves for a little bit, and then after he leaves for a while, after he goes like out to the sidewalk, he fucking hollers, like fucking, you know, one of these numbers, one of the fucking cups the mouth to project the voice deals. "You got any food?"
Did you have any food?
Fuck. No. The only food we had was some like old fries that were on the baseboard of my mom's van. And it's like, "No, we don't have any food. All right. We're starving here. And you have a Columbia jacket on. There is no fucking way you are struggling for cash if you have a Columbia jacket on, you fucking poser." All right, yeah, I think that does it here. We're an hour and a half into the podcast. I think that'll... I mean, you got anything crazy teetering on your mind here?
Nah, just appreciate you for coming on. It was a fun time, and we'd like to have you back if you're down, for sure.
We'll do something again. Love it. Like I said, I can't turn down two Pixleys in one room.
No, dude. This is
impossible.
Yeah, it's hard to turn down two Pixleys in one room. Just two Pixleys in general. Two Pixleys in two rooms. But no, dude, thanks for doing this. You are the shit, man. And I really do appreciate you doing this podcast. I know you didn't come from Seattle to do this, but I appreciate you making this part of your trip and seeing you. You know, you've become one of my best friends over the years. You're like a second brother to me. Yeah, I love you to death. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for another episode of the TNT Trey and Treeb Show. Stay tuned next week. We have a real guest next week. Somebody with some credentials, not somebody who used to do something and now just delivers pizza. We could get a pizza driver from any pizza joint. We just decided to get this guy. But this next guest, he actually used to do something with his life. He's trying to get a pro contract. So very exciting. You're going to see me try to kick a 35-yard field goal, and Trey is going to try in coffin corner. And he's going to long snap a little bit. So that's going to be pretty exciting. You won't want to miss that. Thanks for tuning in. If you watch this whole thing, it's the longest podcast we have done yet. I think there's a lot of good content in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely turned out a lot better than our last one. Make sure you can listen to this podcast anywhere you want. It's on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And, of course, if you want to enjoy The Pixley Necks and Evan's Beaker Neck all in one podcast. You can always watch it on YouTube. Check out all the links down below. Like me on Facebook at Troop Talks. Follow me on Instagram at Trayvon Pixley. Hit that subscribe button. Click the like button. It helps us out a ton. Trey, any final words?
Nah, just like what Troop said, thank you guys for listening to us, and we'll see you next week. We might take a little hiatus after Saturday, but we'll be back.
They'll still get the weekly uploads, but we'll be taking a recording
hiatus. Yeah, recording break.
Yeah.
Which gives me more time to drop more Treyisms.
And jokes. That was a good joke, too. You had to, that was a good stand-up. You remembered most of it.
Yeah.
It was really good. You know, I wanted to do the stand-up comedy at first, but Trey is putting me to shame very quick and becoming one of the funniest comedians I know right now. We got to get him on a stage. We got to get him on stage in the Spokane Comedy Club. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.